Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls and answering all your love and sex questions. Topics include what to do when you find yourself 7 years into a sexless marriage, how to cope with an FWB situation gone wrong, tips for overcoming penis insecurities and stepping up your kissing skills, plus what's with all this slut shaming? Come on, get the answers to all this and more. Thanks for listening. I feel like I'm always talking about the G-spot, from tips to help you find it to products to help you pleasure it. Normally, this is where I tell you about a great vibrator that is perfectly shaped to get the job done. But not today. This time, I'm going to help you hit the G-spot during intercourse. Something I happen to know is in a lot of your bucket lists. Introducing the G-spot link from Sports Sheets. The G-spot link is a positioning strap that allows a woman to comfortably hold her legs at the best angle for a partner to hit the G-spot during penetration. Its comfy Velcro straps wrap around her ankles with an additional strap that acts as a handle. Just put it on, grab hold, and position yourself. No fatigue, no backache, no shaking muscles, just deep G-spot hitting fun. It might be kind of hard to picture how the G-spot link works, so get more information at sportsheets.com/Emily. You know, if you want to see some action shots. If you're ready to transform missionary into extraordinary, try the G-spot link for yourself. Go to sportsheets.com/Emily and don't forget to use code Emily at checkout for a special discount just for my listeners.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We are having a party there on the website. I'm sure you've been there. Check it out. Because, God, we have so many more viewers on the site now. But we post stuff every day. We post a podcast, blogs, things that will just, you know, help you have better sex. And subscribe to the podcast. Check us out on social media. I can't stop myself from Snapchat and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And, okay, I know it's January. It's still like, you know, how many days after the first can you talk about New Year's? I think you get the whole month pretty much. So, well, first of all, on today's show, we're going to be taking your calls, which is exciting. We've been doing more and more of that. So, when you send us your emails, you can just say, hey, I'd like to be called. So that's a little option on our website when you go to the Ask Emily tab. So that's what's going to happen in today's show. But first, again, it still is a new year in my mind. Okay. So I was thinking about the last year, which was incredible in so many ways, but I was trying to like flash back to last January. And I thought one of the things I committed to, if you don't feel great about like resolutions, people think it's kind of like a JV way to like make changes in your life just because it's January 1st. But I like to think about it like a year had gone by and what did I want to change? And I really wanted to focus on actually doing my Kegel exercises. Now, you know that I have always been sort of obsessed with them the last 5 years. I think I launched my Kegel Camp app in like 2012. So it was always something it was like, and I did that app because I thought I never remember to do them. So if you download the app, it like sets a daily reminder. And that did help me. Okay. Like I started doing them more regularly. I was like, oh, 11 a.m. time for Kegel Camp. So I like that, so that helped. But the other thing that happened last year is that I got the intensity. So the intensity is this the kind of a miracle product that you put it in, it looks like a rabbit vibrator, but it actually does your exercises for you. So I just lay back, I do it for like 10 minutes a day. And I would say that in the last year, I want to say I did it every day, but who really does anything every day? Okay, we can't beat ourselves up. When you're like, I'm going to exercise every day of our life. We don't really do that. But I'd say at the beginning, it was probably 6 or 7 days a week. And then later on in the year, probably 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm just telling you guys, having like Kegels of steel is an amazing feeling. I walk around, I feel like I'm Superwoman. And let me tell you why. Because when your Kegels are strong, and you know, men can do them too, which unfortunately you can't use the intensity because you can't insert it into you. But when you have strong Kegels, I feel like, first of all, my G-spot orgasms come so much easier. I can just knock one out like a clitoral orgasm. And, you know, sometimes you sneeze and you pee, or you laugh and you pee, or you text and you pee. That just happens as a woman. Like, sometimes it doesn't happen anymore. And I used to brace for it. I'm like, I'm sneezing, and nothing happens. So I'd say it also has helped me want to just, I don't know, it gets my body more, like, prime for sex, and more like I'm more in touch with my body. And I feel like when I do have sex, which I'm going to get to in a minute, I don't know, it's just been better. So I'm really proud of that I followed through that this year. So I was thinking about some resolutions, commitments we could all make this year together, and, you know, around sex and relationships. And so this was my year of being single mostly. Like, I have to say, I probably had sex fewer times this year than I've had in my life. And I'm totally okay with that because I, in fact, remember all of them very well. And also, you know, I talked about this in a previous show, how I did take time to just be single, and I wasn't like dying for a relationship. And I just, you know, it's really good to think and reflect of like what you want in a relationship, you know, what you're looking for next, what went wrong in previous relationships. But I was thinking about the sex I had this year, and I thought, you know what? Some of it was great. Okay. You all heard about my Latin lover. I talked a lot about that on one show. It was called Cyber Sex, Latin Lovers and Happy Endings. And he was so good. He was like this. He knew all about the pelvic floor and Kegel. He was like, he was a tantric master, and he totally understood a woman's body. And I have to say, it's very rare that you meet a person like this. And then I thought about the other guys I've dated this year, and I thought, you know, a lot of us just don't update our sexual bag of tricks. We kind of have sex the same way over and over again. And perhaps we learned in high school how to have sex, and we think, okay, now we make out. Now I, you know, take your shirt off. Then I put my penis inside your vagina and I go after you like a jackhammer. And I don't fault anybody, because I know that there's not a lot of great places to learn how to have sex. And perhaps if you just learn by like watching porn or something, no, not bashing porn, but technically speaking, not the best way to learn how to have sex. And so we talk about it a lot on this show about, you know, intimacy and, you know, making eye contact with your partner and tuning into what your partner needs. And so, you know, that those are some of the things. But what I mean is that these guys who are like, I felt like they were with this one guy in particular. So it was after a few dates, he came inside, and I felt like we had this great intellectual connection. But when it came down to sex, it was like all of a sudden his brain went into like robotic, I am going to hook up with this woman mode. And he started like kissing me and touching me in a way that was like, I could have been any woman. It was like, here's what I do when I'm with a woman. Like, maybe he was nervous. He didn't come off like he was nervous. Like, you wouldn't have known it. But since I am an expert in this, I thought, he's not really paying attention to my responses to what I'm doing. It was like, now's the time where I take off your shirt. Oh, you know what he did was so frustrating. Here's what I'm talking about. Is he's like, here's the time where I take off your shirt and then I go down to your pants. It was like he barely took my shirt off, and then he tried to unbutton my pants, which is my biggest pet peeve when guys skip over your boobs. They're like, your boobs don't even exist. I don't even care because I want to get your pants. And it's like, there is an order here, people. There is an order, and like, take time and like linger on my breasts. Like, notice them, take a look, feel them, at least pretend you care about my breasts and that you don't just want to get inside my vagina. You know, and it was a few instances like that where I just thought, you know, how would he know though? Like, I thought afterwards, and I didn't see him again, and it wasn't just because of that, although that was a big part of it. And I thought, I wish I could like send him some notes, just like a little like cliff notes, like, hey buddy, it's great, you're a sweetheart. But you know, would have been really nice if you kind of slowed down and, you know, gave him some tips. And I thought, nobody ever does that. And the reason why, I'm saying women do the same thing, we do the same things, is because no one's that honest with us. No one's saying like, you know, that blowjob was great, but it would have been better if you used your hands. And obviously everyone wants something different, but I'm just saying general feedback would be great. And I know our egos are, you know, very fragile and might hurt us, but I wonder if there was a way we could, I don't know what. I'm just saying, know that there's probably more information out there that you're not getting. And so I realize why we have sex the same ways that we might have learned when we were younger. And I was thinking about how when I started the show, one of the main things in 2005 when I started the show was because I thought, I've had okay sex, I've had good sex, but when people would walk around and say, oh, I had the best sex of my life, like last night was amazing, he was amazing, she was amazing, I was always like, stop. What exactly do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean by amazing? And, you know, my friends would say, oh, you know, for a lot of women, it's typically like, oh, it was spontaneous, or it was the first, you know, I didn't know that he was coming over and he like threw me against the wall, or we were somewhere romantic. And for guys, typically, I guess it's like she was really into it, or I don't know. I always want to get it from guys, like, because what does good sex mean and what does bad sex mean? But anyway, people would say that. And I thought, I just want to become a better lover myself because I think I'm pretty good. I haven't any complaints, but then again, who knows? Maybe people weren't telling me. I thought, I want to become a better lover. And so I was having some memories about this. I was thinking, I remember talking to a friend early on about the show, and he was like, you know what it is about sex? He's like, I feel like women don't change that much. He said, there was a girl, and I hooked up with her 6 months ago, which is like a random hookup, and she gave me a really good blowjob. So 6 months later, you know, we were like friends with benefits. I hit her up again. She came over. She gave me the exact same blowjob. It was like she was following some kind of instruction manual. Nothing changed. Nothing veered. He's like, it was exactly the same. Now, I'm not saying that's like a horrible thing. He wasn't like, it was bad. It was like nothing changed. And so that really inspired me. And I remember thinking, like, I want to do something different. So I was dating a guy at the time. He was very lucky, actually, because this is when I was like brand new Sex with Emily, and I was reading a book. I think it was Sadie Allison's Tickle's Pickle, which is a great book if you want to like know your way around the penis. And I think like literally I'd read one tip, like one little tip, and I was with my boyfriend that I'd been with for like a year. And I went to give him a blowjob, as I often did. And I remember we were in his kitchen, and I gave him a blowjob, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to do that thing. And it was like, I think it was like, press down on his perineum with your finger when he's about to come. It was like something very basic. And I did it. And he was like, he had this big orgasm. He's like, oh my God, Emily, what did you just do there at the end? And I was like, I just did this thing. You know, it's like, wow, I just did one thing that I read in a book because it was the last thing I remembered. And it was like an amazing, you know, orgasm for him. So that's my example for you. It was like one little thing that I learned, and it was like, oh, it was a great, you know, oral sex experience. So I thought, this is a year of learning for all of us. I think I'm never done learning. Hopefully you're never done learning. And it doesn't have to be like a whole production. Like, I'm not saying you need to go out and build a dungeon in your house. I'm not saying you have to go out and buy like an arsenal of toys, although maybe one or two helps. This year, my year's resolution for you guys and for the show is I'm going to give you like more unique tips, like on, you know, most of the shows that are like very specific that can help you improve your sex life. And again, it doesn't have to be big production. Like, have you ever tried a pillow under your butt when you're having sex for women? If you're not able to like have orgasms as easily, or the positioning seems off sometimes, you put a little pillow, that works. Try slowing down. If you've been with your partner for a while and you haven't kissed, kissing is the first thing that goes in long-term relationships, FYI. So maybe you're like, you know what, tonight I'm going to make out again. Or, you know, just like focus on the intimacy, focus on the connection, and I'll be bringing you tips this year. All right, guys, so we're going to take this year by the balls, by the clitoris. It's going to be a good one. Happy 2017. Now we got some sex in the news. Okay, 45% of couples schedule sex. According to a recent report, 45% of couples plan a time to have sex with their partners. Planning means one or both people write it down or mentally know that Tuesdays are now allocated for intimate time. And I have to say, when I first started the show, I thought, oh my God, scheduling sex sounds like the boringest buzzkill I could ever imagine. Who wants to schedule sex? Because hot sex is all about spontaneity and, you know, like, but what I realized over the years, and I'm glad that this study corroborates that, is that there's a lot of people in relationships who want to have sex, but their schedules don't, you know, you get kids, you get busy. And when you actually schedule sex, it takes a lot of the pressure off because, you know, I'm not going to try to have sex with my, you know, husband on Saturday night and he's going to reject me. And then it's going to be this whole thing all week. You like, no, Tuesday's your night. And so the study goes on to say that it's one of the best ways to prioritize intimacy and put it at the top of the list. And the idea that desire is spontaneous and that it switches on like a light switch actually goes against science. Women do not get aroused and get desirous for sex the same way that men do. So, you know, if you're adverse to scheduling because you worry like it'll make sex into a chore, you know, you're not alone. Because again, some people think, God, that just seems like another thing. But when you start to think like, oh, it's every Tuesday, you can create like a date night bag and you could fill it with like spontaneous ideas. You're like, I'm going to be giving you tips that you want to try. It could be like, you got a new sex toy in there, or you have like, maybe even take notes on your phone. You're like, God, on Tuesday night, I'm going to wear this lingerie. I'm going to try this sex tip. And then you start to think about sex, right? You start to like fantasize and you think, what is it going to be like? And it can actually be really hot. Desire requires arousal to initiate the process. So that means if you put your body in motion, your brain will get on board as well. We always say your brain is the largest sex organ. So if you even start doing the motions, you're going to want to have sex. So the actual physical act can be enough to get the ball rolling, you know? So that's why, again, like, you got to like sometimes just start moving it and you're like, okay, I'm going to want sex. It's not going to be so bad. And then you have sex and you never regret it. You're like, oh, why do we have sex? It's just like the gym, right? You're never like, why did I go to the gym? You're usually happy about it. So scheduling time allows both of you to anticipate it more and might even increase your flirtation with your partner because you know what's coming up. So I just think if you've been struggling, you're with your partner, you're like, oh, we don't have sex, schedule it. A lot of couples, all these couples can't be wrong. And I think, again, two great benefits of scheduling it. You know sex is happening and you don't have to worry about it all week long. You're like, okay, this is happening. Pick whatever date, you know. And I have a lot of friends who've been married and they have date night and they literally religiously, I was talking to one of my friends the other night. She's like, yep, you know, Wednesday night, I'm going out. I'm like, you guys still do that? They have two small kids. They've been doing it for like 8 years and every Wednesday is their date night. And also, again, you know that it's happening so you can plan for it. You can fantasize about what's going to happen. You get excited about it. So again, I think these are great benefits for scheduling sex. Okay, so think about that this year. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. Thank you, everybody, for supporting our amazing sponsors. They help keep the show free, and we love them. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Thanks for listening. So are you ready for your new TV obsession? Thursday, January 26th on The CW. The network that gave you The Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl is bringing you the awesomely dark and addictive new series, Riverdale. Based on Archie comics, Riverdale puts a super edgy, twisted spin on the classic characters you know. Did you guys ever read Archie? I was actually obsessed with Archie. I used to make my dad take me every single weekend to like Archie comic book conventions. I'm not kidding. Like, that's what I did. I was a huge fan. So are you like a good girl like Betty? Are you more Veronica? I think I'm more of a Veronica, if you couldn't tell. Okay, back to the show. Riverdale looks like the perfect, safe, wholesome small town, but it's got huge secrets. It all starts off with a new year at Riverdale High and the mysterious murder of one of its most popular kids. Everyone becomes a suspect, and that's when the sordid details about what everyone really did that summer and with whom begins to surface. Wait till you find out what the people in this town are hiding. Do not miss the jaw-dropping series premiere of the must-see new show Riverdale, Thursday, January 26th, only on The CW. Okay, now we're on to calls. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the show, I love that. It's so easy to submit your question. Just go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab at the top, fill out the form, and hit submit. But now there's an option to call into the podcast and get your question answered live. So just check the yes box if you want your question answered on the show. And if not, we'll still answer your question. We still do emails. You can also leave me a voicemail, which I also think is a really fun part of the show. You guys have been leaving such amazing voicemails. I'm kind of blown away how like articulate and concise and smart you all are. So please leave me a voicemail. It's great to hear your voice. 818-ASK-SWE1 or 818-275-7931. As always, please include information that helps me help you. Your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Can't wait to hear from you. All right, our first call is from Shannon. She's 43 from New York, and she's stuck in an intimacy-less marriage. And she wants to know if a marriage without intimacy is worth saving, and if so, how do you save it? Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm so good. It's so good to talk to you. I'm ready to help you with this intimacy challenge going on. Happens to the best of us.
For sure.
Well, tell me a little bit more about... Okay, so tell me how long you've been married and just a little bit about what's going on with you.
Okay, we have been married for 7 years. We have not had sex for over 9 years. And a lot of the intimacy fell away pretty quickly at the beginning of our relationship. But he's such a wonderful man and friend and companion. And I just wanted to be very patient with what he was going through, which I probably failed to mention.
What's he going through? He was that having, you haven't had sex in 9 years.
Well, I should say when we first started dating, the sex was somewhat normal. And what I mean by that is we were having sex, but he would say that he was having problems down there. So mm-hmm. some form of erectile dysfunction, but things were still working. So probably within that first year, sex became less and less frequent and then just stopped.
Okay.
But I don't think I realized it stopped for a while, and then I blinked, and then it's been 9 years.
Wow.
And here we are.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have children? Well,
no.
You probably couldn't have children because you've been in sex. That's the immaculate conception. Or you adopted, let's be honest. Okay. So have you guys talked about this?
We have, and often we would end up in some form of heated discussion that would leave us not speaking to each other for about 24 hours or so.
Okay.
So I realized he's kind of conditioned me not to bring it up.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem. And then this past year, I've just been doing a lot of kind of personal development and trying to clear out a lot of clutter in my life, like physically, mentally, emotionally.
Nice.
And I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine, and we would have these just amazing and interesting conversations about anything and everything. And one night I shared with him what was going on in my marriage, and he asked me, "Are you happy?" So that conversation sparked a long period of reflection and self-awareness of issues that I wasn't dealing with, this being one of them. And I feel like therapy is the answer because nothing's changing.
Right.
And I feel like I'm stuck in a hole that I can't get out of without someone's help.
Right. Okay.
So that's why I don't know where to go from here.
Right. I mean, I think absolutely therapy. I mean, therapy, you know, in your situation, you know, in a lot of situations will help, but Shannon, 9 years, 9 years, no sex. I mean, you're essentially roommates, right? If you're not having sex, then you're roommates.
Yep.
So
he's a great roommate.
Right. It sounds like he's got to be a great roommate. Like he must help around the house. Like, you know, I don't know, brings in the groceries, he cooks, maybe he's all these great things, but he's not really, I mean, I get he's your husband, but there's been zero sex and you haven't talked about it. So yes, I do think, I mean, yeah, therapy like today, but also I'm curious, are you still in love with him in that way?
That's a very difficult question to answer because I've been trying to figure that out myself, and I think I have all these coping mechanisms in place.
You must.
So I can't really see. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Is the deal. Shannon, this is what you have to do. I need to set a timeline here for you because you've had 9 years without sex. So I got to tell you, I need you to either get into. You both need therapy. I get that you probably don't want to throw it away because you don't know. You probably feel like you haven't really tried yet. Like you kind of tiptoed around it, but he's got to see, you know, that there's an issue that you haven't had sex. So I'm going to say get into therapy together if you can, because even if it's just to figure out where you guys are at, find like a really good marriage family therapist. And because I'm sure this is going to be peeling back the layers from all these years. I mean, you know, you said it started with erectile dysfunction 9 years ago. That probably, you know, increased his anxiety around sex. I'm sure he's never talked to a doctor about it, which most men don't talk to anyone about their penis. And so now you've been coping because, you know, you're like, I love this guy, I want to stay together. But really, it's like, I asked if you're in love with him because part of me feels like, of course you love him, but if there hasn't been any sex, it's like you love him like a brother, like he's a family member, you care about him. So I just think like I'm going to give you the timeline that you got to get into therapy like within the next week, because I think the hardest thing for a lot of people is like, oh, my insurance, I got to call them and I don't know if I can find a therapist. Like just find one, ask your friends. I'm sure they're on therapy. Find it, go to two, see who you like better. And just because you guys got to just honestly like sit in those chairs in that room and face each other and talk about what's going on, because I don't know after 9 years what you guys are going to do. It's like if you can roll it back to the beginning or if there's just something else going on, but you don't have all the answers now because he hasn't been open to talk about it. So, which makes sense. Like you poor thing, like my heart's like, I want you to like, and then I want you to go to therapy. And then I want you to like, no, because things can move quickly here. You're going to know soon enough whether or not he's willing to work on it, because you don't have another 9 years to A, convince him to go to therapy, and to B, convince him to do the work. You're ready to do the work. You've been clearing out the clutter. Yep. You're working on yourself. And a lot of relationships, usually just one person. And these are the relationships that don't often work out when both people aren't willing to put in the efforts. So you're going to find out if he's going to show up at that appointment and if he's going to do the work. And if he's not, you know, you're going to know if you should stay or you should go. Because if nothing changes, I'm going to say 3 months from now, so it's January. If by March, like literally put this on your calendar, like March 20th or something, write down how you'd like to be feeling in your relationship and what milestones you'd like to have hit and see how you feel then. Because if you don't feel to you, I don't want this to go on for another few years. I just can't have this for you. Like, you know, right. So that's therapy. Absolutely.
I don't want that for me either.
Right. And don't let him get away with like not going and canceling the appointment. Like you got to take control of this. You should be having a robust, sexual, like romantic, amazing life with someone who cooks and gives you amazing orgasms.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay. Keep me posted, Shannon. Okay.
I will, Emily. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye. God, Shannon, that was a great call, you guys. If that struck a chord with any of you, you're like, God, we haven't had sex in a month. We should probably work on that. You should. Couples should be having sex. I'm never going to give you a set number, but if you're having sex like once a month, that's not great. Once a week, I think is good. You know, if you can live with that, but 9 years, people, 9 years. And I'm not going to be, you know, I could just sit here all day long and say, go to therapy. But I actually think everybody needs therapy, but they really need it and they got to figure it out. So if you're stuck in an intimacy-less marriage, that might want to be the route that you want to go. And I want to hear from Shannon. I love when you guys let me know how things go. Like after we talk and give you advice, I want to hear how it progresses. Like I want Shannon to call me in March. I need to know. Okay, another call? All right. Okay, next call, we have Miles. He's 24, from California, and he's concerned about the size of his package, wondering if he should give his new love interest the heads up about it. Hey, Miles.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So tell me what's going on.
So, you know, when I first tried to have sex, it was when I was 18. You know, I had always been a little, you know, self-conscious about it. And the first time, it really didn't happen, and then it ended up happening because I had performance anxiety. So the second time I tried, it was a little uneventful. She was very understanding. It came in like 50 seconds flat, but, you know, she told me straight up, you know, I'm a grower. And so I didn't even know what that was until...
She said you were a grower.
She told me in a research about... Excuse me?
She said you were a grower.
Yes.
Grower, not a shower. As in, when you see your flaccid penis, you're like, and then it grows. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah.
Just explaining for the at-home audience. Okay.
So she told me I was a grower, and I didn't really know what that was. And so now I'm dating someone new. And I'm a little self-conscious because she's been very open about her sexual desires.
Okay.
And I don't know how to go about it without kind of freaking her out at first sight.
Wait. Okay, back up. You're concerned that she's going to look at your penis and think it's small and she's not going to, and you're like, no, wait, it's going to grow. Is that what you're thinking? Okay. So first of all, that won't happen. I'm just telling you right now, like that is not going to happen. She's attracted to you. She's telling you about her sexual desires. She's excited to have sex with you. And I have to tell you that after the thousands of emails and calls and I've gotten from people that I hear from more men who are concerned about their penis than women. Like women don't even talk. They're like, oh yeah, it's a great lover. So you've nothing to be concerned about. Okay. So as far as that goes, she's not gonna be like, oh, sorry, we were gonna have sex, but hope you grow there. No. So I feel like that's not, the size isn't the issue. You said she talked about her desires. Is there something in her desire that's concerning you? Like you won't be
able to... we went on a date. We already went on a couple of dates. And, you know, she's very hyper type of girl. And she told me about, you know, she likes it rough.
Okay.
And so at first it was a little shocking, you know, revealing that to me. You know, and some of the other things that she likes speeding out and everything.
Like what? Speeding out?
She likes to be eaten out.
Beaten out. Okay, go down on her, right?
Yeah, she likes to, you know, and she likes it rough. And she told me that her last sexual partner, like, made her realize that. And, you know, she's more into the spontaneous side of sex.
Okay.
And if I could only really give that when I'm already hard.
Right.
And so... I don't know. It was weird.
Don't you think that you'll already get hard? Like, you don't... Right now, you don't have a problem getting hard, right? Like, when you're turned on, you get hard.
Oh, yeah.
So, don't you think that you're going to be hard, like, the second you guys start making out? I mean, first of all, if she likes it rough, I know all these things, like, right, rough, eating out. Like, if you guys start kissing and making out and you, like, you know, throw it out on the bed and you go down there, like, you're going to be turned on. So I don't think you have to worry that you're going to be in a scenario where your penis is not hard here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to be a problem. And if that does happen, let's say you're like, oh, I'm too anxious. We just got to get you out of your head, because this happens to a lot of guys, and you will get through this. There's nothing wrong with you, Miles. You're 24 years old. You know, I think a lot of younger guys just, and believe me, it happens to some older guys too, but you don't have as much experience, and your few times might have been like, oh, this happened, that happened. And you think that's who you are, but it's not who you are. So the less you can spend focusing on what might happen and what happened in the past, the better. And that means that you got to be present in the moment with this beautiful, desirous woman who likes it rough in front of you when you're having sex. So whenever these thoughts come in your head, just go back to, like, something about her that turned you on, okay? So direct those thoughts into the moment of what's happening, okay? Away from your penis and into the moment. So are you concerned about the rough part? Are you concerned about going down on her? Both? Have you gone down on a woman?
I have once, but like I said, I don't, or like you said, like you guessed correctly, I don't really have that much experience.
Right.
Because, you know, I would compare myself to all these porn stars that would have, like, 7-9 inch penises, and I would think, well, I'm small. And so I kind of became asexual through that, because I was thinking, well, no one's going to want to, you know, do this. But it's, I don't really have as much experience.
Right.
As she
That's
does,
fine.
So.
That's fine. And who knows how much she really has. Okay. So she had one lover who threw her against the wall and she thinks she likes rough sex. We don't know what all of her experience is. Okay. And nobody's expecting you to be this, like, pro sex guy. Right. Because the key to having really great sex with someone is to be in tune with them and to be connected. So really it's about, like, you want her to be pleased. And so I would just be paying attention to, like, how she is responding to you. So, like, when you guys go out, you know, when you start making out, like, just, like, is her breath quickening? You know, when you start touching her body, when you start doing things, like, just, like, be present with her in the moment. And I don't think that she's going to be thinking that you know, she doesn't have all these expectations. She's not hard on you like you're being hard on you, okay? So I think that these are all these past, like, negative things that you're telling yourself that I just wish you could, like, leave behind. And I know that's easier said than done. So I'm telling you that none of these things are going to, like, she's not going to be sitting there thinking all these things but about you. But it's okay that you don't have experience. Like, nobody is born with the experience. So you can let her know when you do go down on her, if you want to, that, you know, like, go slow. First of all, going slow is a great way, like, kiss her for a long time. Like, anticipation is one of the biggest turn-ons for women, okay? The longer you can wait, like, I was just talking earlier in the show about, like, my biggest pet peeve, and I've been having sex a lot longer than you and probably a lot more, is that when a guy still, like, who's had a lot of sex just goes right for my pants and to take him off and have sex with me. I'm like, whatever happened to, like, the buildup and the romance? Like, make out with her. Like, do the things that you feel good about. Like, appreciate her. Kiss her. Kiss her neck. Like, slowly undress her. Kiss her breast. Just because she likes rough sex doesn't mean the first time you're together she wants you to throw her against the wall either. FYI. She's just telling you, like, oh, I'm crazy and I've done all these things. But if you're present with, like, what's happening in the moment, I'm telling you it's going to be a much more positive experience. And then if it gets to the point where you're going down on her, you can just ask her what she likes. You know, we have tons of great stuff at our website about, like, how-tos, like, great, like, cunnilingus and, you know, some best tips and all that. But really, it's about, like, going down, going slow, starting slow, like, with your tongue, like light, like, butterfly, like, kisses, and just, like, ask her, like, does that feel good? Like, how you can start, and you can also tell in the moment how she's reacting. So is her breath quickening? You know, is she arching her body towards you? You know, you can start to get, that's how you learn, you know, you learn by, like, doing. So no one's expecting you to be the champion here.
Should I be upfront about, like, not having as much experience, or just kind of let it happen?
I wouldn't be upfront about your penis, because your penis is amazing. I promise you, grower, not shower. I mean, most guys are growers. I don't even know what that, I mean, I know what you're saying, like, but we're not looking, women are not judging a flaccid penis. We're not even judging your hard penis as much as you think we are. And you don't have to say anything, I don't have a lot of experience. No, because you're going to kill it. She's going to be fine. You don't, now, if something comes up when she's like, well, you do this, you know, the pile driver, which is a sex move that I could barely master, and you know what the hell it is, you you'd be like, oh, I've never done that move before. But I guarantee you that you're not going to have to make any apologies here for who you are and what you're doing. You can say, you know, every woman's different. Tell me what you like down here. Like, if she gets frustrated, for example, if that happens, which probably won't, but just ask her, like, be like, what do you need? What, you know, how can I help you? But if you really pay attention to it, I think you're going to do just fine. This is you getting in your own way right now. And if you can focus until you see her again, I don't know when your date is, but like on positive, don't stop watching porn. Like, don't watch porn next week, first of all. And start, like, getting education. Like, education and experience is how you're going to have that self-confidence. So start reading up on it. Read up on the female body, a sexual response. And also, you know, when you're with her, that's also experiential. So just, like, love yourself. Love your body. It's going to be fine. I promise you. It's all in your head. So that's the good news. No one rejected you. Nothing bad happened. This is just what you're worrying.
All right, thank you very much, Emily.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes. Thanks, Miles.
All right, thank you.
If I could do like one public service announcement like to the world, it would be like, you know, size doesn't, you guys already know size doesn't matter, but it's like, don't worry about your freaking penis. Guys, if all the time that men worry, the time and the energy, the anxiety that goes into like stressing about your penis, like you could have like cured cancer right now, collectively, men, and solved world hunger, because we are not worried about your penis like you are. Okay, we've got Amanda, 23, from Missouri on the phone, and she's recently told by a partner that her kissing style left a little to be desired. Now she's looking for some tips on what to do with her tongue. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Tell me what's going on.
I'm glad to be here.
I know. This is so fun. I love having the calls. Okay, so tell me what's going on. You had this partner who was like, I don't even like this guy, but tell me what happened.
Yeah, he was a Tinder date.
Oh, there you go.
And it was our second date. And we were just like hanging out in my apartment after going out to dinner. And we started making out, and then he pulls back and is like, have you ever been with somebody before? And I was really taken aback because I have, and I've kissed many guys and I've never had any complaints.
Right. Okay. So maybe like the way he, you know, for his liking, like you weren't kissing the way he's used to kissing. So that's all that has to do with. Yeah. What'd he say?
Yeah. He said I wasn't using enough tongue. He's like, usually I kiss girls that use a lot of tongue and you're very timid.
Okay. So that's what he wanted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like that's kind of true? Like, do you feel like you are timid? Did that resonate with you?
I don't feel like I am. I usually, with guys that I've been with in the past, like we've talked about what we like. And I guess I'm more of a kind of playful biter than a tongue person.
Right. It's good to bite and tongue. I love the bite. Like you bite his lower lip.
Yeah,
that's hot. That's a really hot move. That's good. I didn't learn that till like much later than you learned it. Like you're 22, 23?
Okay. 23.
So here's the thing about kissing that's so amazing is that, first of all, kissing is kind of like a dance. So every person that you're with, you're kind of creating your own dance together, right? Like sometimes he leads, sometimes you lead. And so just because this guy was a douchebag, I'm sorry, he was like, oh, have you ever kissed anyone? Like, that's just a douchey thing to say, okay? I'm sure there's nothing wrong with the way you kiss. He's used to girls shoving their tongue down his throat. That said,
right.
I think it's great to, like, think about this. Like, I've actually done this. I've done all these things. I was like, I thought, too. I was like, one time, like, I kissed the same way. And I started thinking about how I kissed. And I thought, I'm going to do more of that biting thing, more of the, like, tongue. But really, it's like, I think that when you're kissing someone, are you conscious of what they're doing? Are you thinking more about what they want? Like, where is your head when you're making out with someone?
I guess I more do what I've known has worked in the past. Like my past boyfriend, like he really liked that. So that's kind of just where I go to. And yeah. I like it when guys bite my lip too. So I kind of kiss the way I want to be kissed.
Right. Okay. So you just said something so great. So that's exactly it. We all have sex the way we want to have sex, right? So
right.
I think a great exercise is that the next time you're with somebody, and you could do this maybe after you've dated them a few times, you could say, you know what? I want to try an experiment. I want you, let's play a game. I want you to show me the way that you want to be kissed and then have him kiss you. And then you can show him how you'd like to be kissed, right? So you're kind of just sitting there and he's doing his thing with his tongue or whatever he does. And then you show him how you like to be kissed. And then it becomes like this amalgamation of, then you know what you both want.
Right.
And it's a great way to learn, you know, it's a great way to figure out, like, there are other ways to kiss. And, you know, but usually you get into, typically if you're with someone and you guys are reading each other, you kind of just get into this rhythm where you're not even going to be thinking about it anymore. And I think that's going to happen to you really soon. I think this guy just jolted you. And I'm glad you called before this became like 10 years from now. And you're like, I haven't left my house because this guy said I was a bad kisser. Because this is one guy, right? We've all had those statements that could just like set us back. It just means like, great, wake up call. Thank you very much for the information. And now I'm going to start like, you know, practicing with guys I'm with. So maybe next time with your guy, if you don't feel like, let's play a game, because I know that could be like, whatever, just you could just kind of like say, you know what, I'm going to stick my tongue out. I'm going to pay attention to how he's doing it. And I'm going to follow his lead, like dancing. And I do that sometimes where I'm like, I'm not sure. Like sometimes it's kind of erratic when you start kissing someone at first. I'm like, I'm just going to see what he's doing. Like, and I'll just follow his tongue, right? And then we get into that groove. It's not like I'm fun, but it like becomes our own thing. And then I'll like bite the lip or do my thing, you know, and then you go back to like, how can we sync together? It is like dancing. So I think if you think of it that way, that you're not both like separately on like separate sides of the fence, but you're both in it together, that might help you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it just really threw me off because, you know, it's just a guy I met off of Tinder. So I'm seeing a couple people. And so I'm like, oh, gosh, is that going to happen the next time I kiss
No.
him? Because I've never had that happen before.
Good. Well, I'm glad you called because we're nipping this in the bud right now because this will not happen before. This guy just... Guys just say women say things and it's like so hurtful. And you know what? No, you've got nothing. You've got plenty of dates. You've had boyfriends. You've had, and believe me, there's nothing wrong with your kissing. I'm just going to say, and this is for everyone listening, you can always improve your kissing. You can always be a better lover in all different ways. So yeah, nothing wrong with you. Keep on Tindering. Keep swiping.
Okay.
And just practice. Practice will teach you that, you know, everyone's a little different and you'll pick up different tips from others. So
yeah, that's very true.
Okay. So no worries, Amanda. You're good. I wish I could give you a kiss right now. Okay. Bye. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
That's a really good one too, you guys. I can't tell you how many people are just damaged by these one-off statements. Like, I can't kiss or I can't give a blowjob, you know? But kissing is first of all, it's the first thing that goes, like I said, in a lot of long-term relationships. But really, it's something that can be improved upon. I've had so many people say, oh, she was a bad kisser. He was a bad kisser. And I can't go out with them again. I'm like, no, you can. Kissing is something that you can actually work on together and improve. And we all want to learn. If you're with a willing partner, you guys can make your own kissing dance. It'll be beautiful. All right, we have Tanner. He's 24 from Florida, and he's looking for advice to help him out of a pickle with his two best friends, both of whom he slept with. Tanner, you're the man. What's up?
How's it going, Emily?
I'm good. Okay, so that's quite a pickle. Two best friends, you've slept with both of them.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, where are we at now?
Well, since I originally emailed you, the one that's from Texas, me and her are actually dating now.
Okay.
And the one from Florida, we're still all roommates, but it hasn't been super weird, but at the same time, it hasn't been a normal thing.
Yeah, because she's your roommate and you slept with her, and now you have to see her, like, making coffee in the morning, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure she's heard me and the other one, you know, kind of.
Oh, yeah. And she's still living there? I would think that she would not want to be living there. And are they still best friends?
Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of weird. When I first moved in, everything was super weird. Like, it was kind of weird to talk to each other. But it's gotten a little better. I still don't think it's to the point where I'd like it to be.
Well, what do you... So you're in a long-distance relationship with her best friend in Texas. And so, but then every day you're... Right?
Well, no, we all live together now.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait. I thought you said... Okay, got it. So you, all three of you live together?
Yes.
Just the three of you?
Yep, just the three of us.
So you're in the room with the one girl all the time having sex and the other roommate's there and they're still best friends?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. And so what do you want to happen? Do you want like you all to have like, you know... I don't know, like kumbaya. Like, do you want y'all to hang out and go to movies? I mean, this sounds really sticky.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't want to leave her thinking that, you know, we're exclusive and we don't want to hang out with her at all, you know? I still want her to be like a part of our, you know, friendship. Like, we're not kicking you out of the little group just because we're sleeping together.
Is she dating other people yet?
She's talking to one guy.
Okay, once she starts dating a guy, once she has someone, then you'll all have barbecues this summer and be fine. But right now, she's got no one else and, you know, her roommate's banging you in the next room and she's got to listen to it, which sounds painful. and that you chose the friend over her. So there's a lot of hurt going on here, you know? I mean, there's a lot of ego bruising. And I don't think that you're going to be able to talk her into wanting to, like, hang out right away, maybe. But I think if this is your situation, the three of you, like, are living together, that you're going to have to find a way to make it work. I don't think that you can, you know, it sounds like you're being, you know, you said not being exclusive. You mean sexually, right? You are sexually exclusive, but you're being inclusive in that you invite her out to the movies with you guys, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, if we're going to go out to a bar or something, we always try to invite her.
But she doesn't go.
No. A lot of times, because the guy she's hanging out with isn't exactly a good person.
Okay.
So it's kind of making it hard for us to hang out because neither of us like him. But every time we invite her out, she invites him, and then it just makes things worse.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. What does your friend think? What does the girl think about it, the one that you're with? I mean, it's her best friend.
She doesn't like him at all.
Well, it's okay. The guy's going to be gone.
Like, we don't want to kick her out of the group.
Right. But I get that her feelings are hurt, you know?
He treats her like shit.
Right, right. And you can't – does she see that or no? Probably not yet.
Yeah, she sees it, but she just kind of ignores it because she's falling for him so bad.
Right. Oh, it's so hard to watch your friends date the wrong people.
I know.
God, it's the worst. And you live together. This is also close, Tanner. This is, like, stressful. Like, I feel like I can feel that tension in your house. I just think it's going to be time. If you guys are all committed to living together, time does heal all wounds. And maybe if you don't invite her out, like, she's going to feel like the third wheel. If the two of you are going to a bar and you're like, hey, come with us, but why don't you invite your other friends along? And she can bring the guy she's dating who's a jerk, but invite some others. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then she won't feel like, oh, they're just doing it to be nice. Because right now she just feels like the Cinderella got left behind.
Well, we've tried inviting other people, but she seems to always end up with him.
Right. Well, you can't do anything about that. See, these are two separate issues. She's into some guy that nobody likes. So hopefully she's going to see your ways. That's another hard thing to talk people. You're not going to talk her into hanging out with you more, and you're not going to talk her into dumping this guy until she sees, you know, his faults, like, as clearly as you do. And that's kind of...
we've kind of talked about that, too, and we realize that there's not really much we can do because we tried to talk to her a lot, and she just doesn't seem to listen.
Right, she's not there yet. Well, maybe there's some other friends or her parents or someone that you think she would listen to, but sometimes we just got to go through it. We got to go through dating the jerks and the people who are not great for us. And then we get to the other side, and we're like, I'll never do that again. Or you have a pattern and you keep dating assholes, but hopefully eventually you get over it. But it sounds like you're doing what you can do, you know? Tanner, I think you're doing what you can do right now. So, you know, don't beat yourself up. You're, you know what I mean? Like, you slept with both of them. She's still living with you, so it's not that bad. But you can't save her from herself. But you can just be supportive. So.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Well, Tanner, I think you're going to be fine. I think you guys are going to be fine, and she's going to have to go through what she goes through. And just try to, like, keep the sex down. When you hear her come home, you know, maybe, like, turn up the music or something when you're having sex and she gets home. You want to keep reminding her that she's being an asshole and your friend got you, you know? Okay?
Yeah, we'll try to be a little less loud.
Yeah, you know, it's the least you could do, right? And if you and have party, again, keep inviting with other people. Maybe you can bring some, you know, introduce her to some friends that you know, but... Right now, you're not going to be able to penetrate this relationship she's in, I don't think, until she's ready.
Yeah.
Okay, Tanner. Good luck to you. You'll be fine.
Thanks.
It'll all work out. Okay. You're welcome. That's a tough one. Tanner's two. He sleeps with two. I can't believe she hasn't moved out yet, personally. But, hey, you sign a lease. You're in it together. And I think you'd be cordial. You'd be all need to act with integrity, be a good person. And, God, it's the worst, though, when your friends are dating people and they just don't listen to your advice. But... just think everything's happened for a reason. We all learn from these mistakes, hopefully. We have Summer, 22. She's from North Carolina, and she's very comfortable and confident in her sexuality, but she's sick of being shamed for it by guys she dates. Like, why can't a girl enjoy sex without being called obsessed? Is that right, Summer?
Yes, that is so right.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm so good. Tell me what's going on, sweetie.
Okay, yeah. So I've had a couple past relationships where they, like, yes, we do have a lot of sex, but it's just like I feel they're not on the same page as me. And I think the one that that really bothered me and kind of messed me up for a while was my last one. And he was kind of toxic. And I think I wrote about it to you before a while ago. And he of course, we made the mistake of talking about how many partners we slept with, and mine was higher than his. And, like, his reaction, he just, like, was like, what?
Ugh.
And then in the past, like, I heard that he called me a slut, and he was like, oh, is that your pass, like, your slut pass and, like, stuff like that. So, I don't know. And I kind of, like, I've moved on from it, but it's still kind of, like, in the back of my mind, you know, like, every once in a while.
Right. I totally get it. Oh, my God. Well, you know how I feel about sharing your sleep number, unless it's, like, the mattress.
Yes.
The sleep number mattress.
I know.
But, like, you know, and I'll just repeat this, Rebo, if you're listening, like, it does nobody any good. It's always, like, it's either too high and you're a slut, too low and you don't have enough experience. There is no reason why anyone needs this information. And so my advice when anyone ever asks you is just like, you know what? Right now, I'm focused on the sex that we're having. That's it. Shut it down.
Right.
It's not important. But I get you already did it. And I think this happens a lot in your 20s. Like, people want to know because you know why guys ask? Because he's so insecure about his own, like, sexual prowess that he's like, well, let me see. Yeah. I got to figure out where I am in this equation. Do I have more or less experience? So he was so threatened by the fact that you might have had a few more partners that he was insecure, so he attacked you. You realize this has nothing to do with you, okay? Nothing.
Yeah, I know. I just, at the time, like, I just started thinking, like, second-guessing. I was like, wow, maybe, like, I should calm down a little bit, or maybe I should. But it's just, like, I don't know. That's a part of me, like my sexuality. I'm like becoming more and more comfortable with it. And
good.
I just find a lot of the guys that have been coming, at least maybe it's just me, I'm picking the wrong guys, but
yeah,
they haven't been on the same page, and they get really like weirded out if I ask them questions about what they like and like what their favorite position is, and they kind of shut down and
because they don't
weird
know
about it.
Right. Because they don't know. You're 22.
Yes.
Are you dating 22 year old men? Boys?
Yeah, they've been around my age.
Okay.
Yeah,
so here's the thing. You, no matter how mature you are, no matter like how smart you are, when you're 22 years old or in your early 20s, you literally have not lived enough. You haven't had enough experience. You haven't had a lot of sexual partners. So you're asking these questions, which I think like I would tell people that's what you need to do. You need to ask, like, what do you like? They don't know what they like. They don't know what positions they like yet. They're just happy they're having sex. They probably like the jackhammer. That's all they know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you're kind of, you're like almost too smart for your own good, right? And so I would say there will, I'm not saying that there is not a 22-year-old out there that is more evolved sexually. I'm just saying the guys you've been with, they can't handle this. Like, it's just because, they don't know. Because most girls maybe they've been with are not as involved with you. They're not asking the questions. They don't know what they want. And I say, Summer, you're doing nothing wrong. This is the time to be experimenting. Use protection.
Okay.
Don't talk about what you're doing. No one needs to know. Maybe your best friend, but not even your best friend's best friend, because then she'll gossip about you because she's jealous. So just like, this is not something that you need to talk about, right? You know? And not because anything's wrong with it, but just like people, like, they get jealous and they like to use information against you. So I would say, like, I love that you're so comfortable and confident in your sexuality. And so when you're going to find a guy who's your match and who's going to be able to handle it. But until you do, don't waste your time with guys who aren't meeting you at this level. Really?
Yeah.
But you're not doing anything wrong.
Like I am.
Yeah.
Wasting my time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all, you know what? It's part of it. And you learn from it. So here's the thing. I wouldn't even say that it's a waste of time.
True.
I would say that you've learned it. And now you probably know, if you take a little bit of time right now, there's probably some similarities. Maybe you can tell me. Like the last few guys, anything come to mind that was like, oh, wow, yeah, they all blank, you know? There's probably signs.
Yeah, like they're all kind of similar in the way, like, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you know? Or like you can just get a feel for it, the way they are around sex. Or maybe they're not like great kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe they take your clothes off. They don't slow down with foreplay, or they don't care about your needs, right? Like they don't, and it's because they haven't had enough experience yet. So I would say maybe go a little older, like go a few years older.
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
Yeah, and just don't
really
give it up. Just, you know, self-love. Stay home, masturbate, figure out what else you like, and just don't go out with these guys who are judging you, because you're not doing anything wrong. In fact, I think you're, like, ahead of the curve here, and I love to hear about a 22-year-old woman who's, like, self-possessed enough to, like, and self-assured enough to own her sexuality and to know what makes you feel good.
Thank
so
you.
I think you're awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's just, like, part of kind of owning up to, you know, kind of being like, this is me, this is who I am, and being confident enough to show that to guys, I guess.
Exactly. And you know what? You're doing it, and I'm sorry that you had a guy who threw it back in your face, which is what happens when you share that number. It happened to all. Yeah. It's happened to so many of us. Knew. They want to know because again, they're like, tell me, you can tell me, because they're trying to measure up. They're so insecure having sex in their 20s. Like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. They're like, how can I make sense of this? And they're gathering data, you know, and it just doesn't, it's just going to be used against you. So, but yeah, it's, you're going to, you don't need to share all that information, but you can still be the self-assured woman who knows what she wants in bed. Like, do not make apologies for that at all. Just be careful. Take time before you sleep with someone, you know? I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Make out with, you can tell by the way you, like, foreplay. Like, you can tell if you make out with a guy and hook up with him a few times without sex, how they're going to be, you know, as lovers. And you can pretty much tell. So,
that is very true.
But don't take this on as that this is who you are, because this is just, like, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them. Just remember that. You're doing everything right here.
Yeah.
Except for sharing your number.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I know. That was not... That was wrong.
No, we all do it. That's what I'm telling you. We've all done it, right? And you might do it again, and it's totally fine. But just know, typically...
I don't want to.
Typically, just not the best conversation. So, doesn't ever...
No,
very,
not at
rarely
all.
Does it help.
It's like, I don't want to know.
Yeah, it's fine. You're like, I don't want to know who you're sleeping with. I just keep thinking about, like, making out with you again. You know what I mean? Like, turn the tables. Like, just shut that conversation down.
Right. No,
keep doing you. Okay. Thanks, Summer. You got this.
Okay, thank you. You're such a help. Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome. Hey, I you know what I love about these today's calls? That everyone's calling in. Everyone had like this a singular traumatic moment on a date or with someone they were with. And these are the things, people, that set us back for a lifetime. Like, I can't tell you how many guys I know, like, in their 40s who are like, yeah, when I was 23, this girl told me that, like, I had a small penis or that I was bad in bed, and, like, he's 45 and he still can't have sex. So the fact that you're all calling me now with these things that I'm telling you are, like, one person's opinion of you that has nothing to do with you, because most people lash out and are judgmental because they're insecure, this will set you free from having this set you back from having amazing sex your entire life. So these are great calls. I love it. I love talking to you all. Keep calling. All right. Okay. I had a blast. That was so fun, you guys. Please send me your emails and your calls. So just go to the website, sexwithemily.com. Go to the Ask Emily banner tab and then just write your question and say, yes, I'd like to be called, because how great is this? Because then I can get into it. We can get into it. We can have a talk. And I love talking to my listeners. I just friggin' love you all. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Happy New Year to everybody. And thanks so much for listening. Also, I got to thank my amazing team, of course. Thank you, Madison and Eddie and Ken, who's here and I'm from out of town. Thank you, Jamie and Lori. Thank you, Michael, doing the sound. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Some great news for you. You're done with holiday gifts for another year, and you can officially resume shopping for yourself guilt-free. What better way to kick things off than with something new for the bedroom? Well, my friends at Adam and Eve have exactly what you're looking for, no matter what that might be. AdamandEve.com is where you'll find all my favorite high-end toys, like the Magic Wand and the WeVibe Sync, as well as sexy lingerie, games, massage oils, everything you need to keep things exciting. And you know what's next? The new deal for 2017. For a limited time, when you use code EMILY at checkout, they will include their exclusive Big O kit with your purchase. This kit includes Climax gel and a great mini vibe, perfect for finding the Big O. Of course, code EMILY will also save you 50% on just about any toy, DVD, lingerie, or sensual product Adam and Eve sells. And your order will ship for free. To get in on this deal, go to adamandeve.com and enter code EMILY at checkout today. When it comes to intimacy, I always say go 5 times slower than you think you should. Well, for some guys, that's not always possible during intercourse. Whether you have an issue with premature ejaculation or not, chances are you'd still love to last longer. And you can with Permescent. Permescent is a clinically proven, FDA-compliant product that can significantly delay ejaculation. If you're able to last longer, you'll have less anxiety about performing. See, with Permescent, you can focus on being in the moment with your partner, enjoying sex instead of stressing about it. And they get the benefit of a longer, more intense experience, which, trust me, they're going to love. To illustrate how Permescent works, we've begun to post their amazing videos on sexwithemily.com. Check out the videos tab to see them for yourself. And now it's easier to buy Permescent than ever before, because now it's available at your local Rite Aid. That's right. You can run out and get some today. Of course, you can also click on the Promescent banner on my site or visit promescent.com. That's P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T.com.